The children have reminded us this morning of some of the things that we do to prepare for Christmas. This center table, really never in any setting thing about it, but they were making Christmas cards. And then others were decorating the tree, and others were wrapping presents. And that's things that we all do as we prepare for Christmas. We do them once a year because, from our standpoint, Christmas comes once a year, and we're humans, and the things that we do are temporal. They don't last. But God did the same three things as he prepared for Christmas, but he only did them once because he's eternal. And what God does lasts forever. And so, just real briefly, I know I only have a few minutes left, but I want to take what the children showed us today and make the point that God did the same things as he prepared for Christmas. And again, he only did them once. He sent out a Christmas card. Christmas cards are sent out, are selected and sent out by us to remind each other of the meaning of Christmas, and then they usually convey a personal message of wishes, as the children sung at the end, for a Merry Christmas. Well, God sent us a Christmas card. It's called the Bible. It reminds us of what Christmas is all about, and then it contains a personal message of wishes that we would receive the one that Christmas is all about, and accept the love that God showed when he sent Jesus into the world. The Christmas card that God sent out has 66 books. Each one of those books contains the Christmas message. Each one of those books, in one way or another, points us to the Savior that was born, whose birth we celebrate on Christmas Day. God's Christmas card tells us when that child was going to be born, tells us where he was going to be born, tells us how he was going to be born, tells us why he was born. And then it tells us in the Gospels how all the promises that God made and all the prophecies that the prophets foretold about the coming Christ child were fulfilled as they describe the birth of Christ. And then each one of those books in God's Christmas card contains a personal message to us as individuals. That message is that we would understand the meaning of Christmas and that we would accept the one Christmas is all about, Jesus. And that's what the kids were trying to tell us. I mean, as they make Christmas cards and as they decorate the tree and as they wrap presents, everything needs to come back to Christ. Everything about Christmas needs to point back to Jesus. You see, the Christmas cards we send out to one another, they'll be good for this year, but we'll have to pick out another one for next year. But the Christmas card that God sends out was eternal. It's just as good this year as it was last year, and it'll be just as good next year as it is this year. Because the message hasn't changed. In God's Christmas card, the message has always been the same. It was the message that God gave to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. It was the message that God gave to Noah as he built the ark. It was the message that God gave to Abraham as he told him to take Isaac to the mountain and sacrifice his son. It was a message that was given to the Israelites as they left Egypt. It was a message that was given to King David, the message given by all the prophets. It was the message, same message, that the disciples proclaimed in their day as they walked the face of the earth, and it's the message that we preach here week after week after week. The message of God's Christmas card is that his son left heaven. He lived among men. Perfect life. Tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And then went to a cross and became the payment for our sin. That's what the message of Christmas is all about. That's what God's Christmas card is all about. So they reminded us of the Christmas cards that we send out. They also reminded us of a Christmas tree. A tree that we put up and put bulbs on and lights on, a star on the top that we set our presents around. Well, God gave us a Christmas tree. It wasn't an evergreen. In fact, it had no had no leaves on it at all. There was no bright lights. No shining bulbs. No tinsel. No snow. No star at the top. God's Christmas tree was a cross. It stood on a hill shaped like a skull called Mount Calvary. God decorated that tree with only one thing, and it wasn't pretty. It was so beaten, the Bible says, it could hardly be recognized as a man. But it was a man. A man that bled from his hands and feet where the spikes held him to the cross. A man that bled from his head where they forced the crown of thorns down upon his brow. A man that bled from his back as she was lashed 39 times with the cat of nine tails. A man that bled from his face as they punched him, beat him with rods, and pulled out his beard. The only decoration on God's Christmas tree was the mangled body of his only begotten son. No lights to brighten God's Christmas tree. In fact, for 3 hours, the sun hid his face as darkness covered the earth. Some stood at the foot of that tree and taunted the one who hung on it. They said, "If you're really the Son of God, then prove it. Come down." Two hung on crosses beside him. One said, "Save yourself and us." The other said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." As Jesus hung on that tree, he forgave those who put him there. He entrusted the care of his mother to his disciple John, and he promised the dying thief that he'd be with him that day in paradise. Then he cried out, "It is finished." God's plan to redeem man was done. It was complete. The price of sin had been paid for. And that leads us to the last thing that the children reminded us of, the presents. God only gave us one, but it was the best one of all. We read about it in our text this morning. A text compares what we have with that present and what we have without it. In Romans 6:23, the Bible says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The wages of sin is death. That's what we earn as sinners. By the way, the Bible tells us that we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then the Bible tells us in that verse that what we deserve as sinners is death. Not just physical death, spiritual death. Spiritual death is being separated from God. Spiritual death is being separated from God now and for all eternity. But then the verse says this, but. I'm so glad for the buts in the Bible. But the gift of God is eternal life. If death is being separated from God, then life is being with God. It starts the moment that we get saved. It starts the moment we receive Christ. And it's going to last forever and ever and ever. How does it come? The Bible tells us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. It all comes through Him. And that's what Christmas is all about. That's why He came. He came, He lived, He died to pay for our sins. Pay for my sins, pay for your sins. And on Calvary, He paid our sin debt in full. And because He did, God is able to offer to every person the gift that that verse talks about, the gift of eternal life. Every single one of us, It's available to every single one of us, the gift of God, eternal life. But just like any other gift, we have to take it. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And so the children this morning, in their own special way, invited you to take that gift. You'll read a Christmas card. It'll remind you of the one that was born of a virgin, the one that left heaven. You'll see a Christmas tree, and you'll be reminded of God's Christmas tree, the cross where his only begotten Son hung to pay for our sins. And you'll receive a gift, and it needs to remind you of the gift that God offers to every person, the gift of eternal life. So the children, again, in their own special way, invited you to take that gift this morning. I invite you to do the same thing. God offers it to every single person. You have to take it. You have to take it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this reminder this morning. What a wonderful thing it is to have little children sing about baby Jesus and remind us what Christmas is all about. God leaving heaven, born of a virgin, taking the form of man, living a perfect life, and then allowing mankind to nail him to a cross. And as he died, as he shed his blood, he paid for all of our sins. Father, would you help every person here this morning that's never received Christ understand that they're either on one side of that verse or the other. They're either on the side of the verse that says the wages of sin is death, or they're on the side of the verse that says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, I'm thankful that most people here this morning are on the last part of that verse. They've received the gift. They have eternal life. But there may be a few here this morning, Father, that have never taken that gift, and so they still stand under the judgment of sin. They are still separated from you, their Creator, and will be forever, unless they decide to take the gift that Jesus paid for on Calvary. Would you help them do that this morning? In the simplicity of what the children presented this morning, would you help them understand that they need a Savior and that Jesus is the only one that will work? I pray, Holy Spirit, you would convict them of that truth. And I pray in just a moment as we stand and sing, they would just come and we could take the Bible and we could show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Father, please bless this invitation. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.